Then I'll make a start. Morning. Thank you all for coming. I hope you're having a good time so far and that you're getting a fair bit out of the sessions. I'm glad I've got a microphone given the distance between us at the back there, but we'll feel free to pop down if there's any questions or get me a coffee while you're wandering around. It's really going to be fairly informal, I think. It's nice to see you today. And thank you for bearing with me for not speaking Danish. I'm going to present in English. I hope that's okay. So what I'm here to talk about is Synchronicity Echo, our managed service for migrating Microsoft Dynamics CRM on-premise data to Microsoft Dynamics CRM online. It's as simple as that. That's what I'm here for. I've done a brief agenda here. I'm more than happy to take questions as we go. I know there's a Q&A at the end, but there's not that many of us here, so it's worth us shouting out if there's anything kind of through the session. I'd much rather do that, and while it's fresh in your minds, we can take any questions as we go through. So I'll introduce myself and our company briefly. I'll do that in just a second. Go through the objectives of the session, what we're trying to achieve here. What I'm going to then do is highlight our journey, really, why we ended up building Synchronicity Echo. So some of the challenges that people often face when trying to migrate from CRM on-premise to online. I'm then going to go through how we offer this as a service, how we offer this migration as a service, and how the managed service and Echo work themselves. A little bit about licensing, and then it wouldn't be a reasonable presentation if I didn't highlight some of our other products and services as well that are just around the corner based on our success with Synchronicity Echo. So just before I do session objectives, to introduce ourselves, we started Synchronicity almost 3 years ago now. Myself and another director started. I'm used to work at Microsoft Consulting Services in the United Kingdom, so I worked out of the Reading office there, working primarily on Dynamics CRM implementations. Working with the data center teams at Microsoft, I quickly identified that there was a bit of a gap in terms of what you can do migrating data from on-premise to online. For example, the key way that people usually transition between environments in Dynamics, in Microsoft Dynamics CRM, is through database import, which they don't allow in the data centers. So that's really at that point that Synchronicity Echo was born. We built the company on a services business and a product business. We developed Echo while we were starting to build up our services base. The services business has grown in the last 3 years, as has the product business based on Synchronicity Echo. So the objectives today are for me to tell you what we do, so what is involved in the managed service, how we're able to do it for a fixed price. So if you're migrating your customers, you know exactly how much it's going to cost up front, and how we can offer assurance that the data that you migrate is the same data that you had in your original system. So as promised, I'm going to start with the challenges. And this is just a few slides really to go through some of the issues that we face migrating data without a tool like Echo. So just to be clear, this is an outline of really our journey of why we ended up developing Synchronicity Echo as a tool and then offering it as a managed service. I mentioned this one in my preamble there. This no direct database access. Now, you shouldn't write direct to the database anyway. I'm not going to ask anyone if they ever do. But even in the on-premise environment, you shouldn't do that. What we don't have access to, though, is to be able to import the database in CRM online. And that's a big gap, because it means we don't have the transition that we should have from Microsoft on-premise to online for customers to get the benefits of cloud services. Now, not necessarily a challenge. There are generic tools that are available. You know some, I know some, I use them. You know, we all do. There are very good integration frameworks available, and they allow you to take data from one type of system to another in a very coherent way. However, we already have the schema. We already have the database. With the generic tools, you have to configure it to some degree. What you end up doing is taking your account from your source system, mapping it to your account in your destination, and then the contacts, and then all of the attributes, and then all of the relationships between those attributes. There's a lot of configuration and very little assurance that you'll have got it right. And you need to really understand what's going on with the Dynamics CRM API. So you need to really understand what that message that you've just pushed through that generic framework means. Quite often the generic tools are very good generally. You get multiple adapters for different types of systems, but they're not specializing in dynamic CRM. That's one thing about Echo. It's only specifically built for migrating CRM on-premise to online. There are a couple of other uses that we can have, but the primary purpose of its development was from on-premise to online. And you need to test. If you're doing a generic tool set, you need to test it. You need to clear down the data. You need to test it again. This is such an iterative cycle, and that can take a long time to get to the level of assurance that many of your customers will want, that all of the data has migrated as expected from on-premise to online. So some of the other challenges that we have with data migration, specifically looking at the Dynamics CRM framework, I'm going to highlight a few of these and go through how we address them within Echo. Otherwise, it would be a very short presentation. It just does what we say it does, but I'll go through a few of these. But these are some of the things that we've found on our journey over the last couple of years of specific areas that we've had to develop within Echo. So migration order is absolutely key. And I've got a slide in a minute that I'll go through the how the relationships work. But if you imagine you've got accounts related to accounts and contacts in a variety of ways, which do you create first? How do you make sure that those references are correct? So having that migration order correct is absolutely critical. And we've got a process which helps us manage those relationships, which I'll go through. Typically, customers don't know the difference between on-premise and online, apart from it's perhaps cheaper. It comes out of their operational expenditure rather than their capital expenditure, and the accountants like that. But beyond that, they don't really see the difference. They want to be able to see who created an email, who created a note, when they created it, what the history is on that information. And there are ways of doing that within the API, but going back to the generic model, if you're using a generic tool, it's not immediately obvious exactly how to do that. And we've obviously built that into Synchronicity Echo. Managing the status. So an email has been sent in your source system. You want to reflect that within the destination system. Again, quite a complex operation to set up, but Synchronicity Echo takes care of it for us. Lists, marketing lists, business unit hierarchy, price lists and price list items. It's the bane of my life. Sometimes setting up people's price lists from an external source is a very difficult and complex process, and we manage all of that automatically. Managing quotes and quote statuses and inactive quotes and so on. Quick campaigns. There's no API for quick campaigns, so we have a special way of managing those within Synchronicity Echo. Queue items, transaction currencies, and the rest. So the few that I'm just going to go through, I've just highlighted here. The couple of examples of exactly how we've addressed these within Synchronicity Echo.
Good question.
Yes, please.
You had the attachments. What about templates?
Templates typically come through export and import. So I should have made this point. The question there was, I mentioned attachments. What about templates? So you're talking about email templates and so on. So typically, anything that can come through the solution import, we don't migrate with Synchronicity Echo. I should have made that point very clear. So anything that comes through the solution path, workflow definitions, entity model, and so on, all of that needs to be in place. I've got a slide for that later on, but it's really anything else, any of the data, any of the...
So what about the... You had notes and emails, but attached documents?
Attached documents to emails come through Synchronicity Echo, yes.
Okay. Also, yeah. Documents attached as notes?
Yes. Yeah, so all kind of data data type entities, records within the system come through. So attachments, annotations, from annotations, it's the annotation entity, all of that comes through. Okay? So I mentioned migration order. This is a slide that I put together just to highlight the challenges of interrelated data within the system. So if it's fairly simple, we've got one contact associated with one company or with other companies, and that's fairly straightforward. We know that if this is a one-to-many relationship, for example, if we look at this here, I'm going to use the pointer, yeah, one-to-many relationship, we know that we need to create this lady first and then these here. However, that gets a bit more complicated when there's relationships that go the other way. And that's not to mention then that we need to deeply understand how that relates to other people, including this random guy with a cycle helmet and all other kinds of characters. The message from Microsoft has always been that you can relate any data with anything within the system. But again, unless you deeply understand your entity model, especially if you've inherited the solution, if the customer's made some details themselves, before you know what you're doing, you've got a very, very big mess, and data migration becomes a headache. It becomes one stage of iteration after the other, and you can spend weeks trying to get it right with this kind of interrelated data. The other challenge I mentioned was bulk operations, so quick campaigns. There's no supported way within the API, but we've built some specific transformations within the system that means we retain bulk operations from CRM version 4, 2011, and onwards, so that the activities that are created are still bundled together. We effectively use a classic campaign within Dynamics CRM and migrate the data accordingly. This is typically the kind of thing that gets missed in using a generic tool for migration, and it's often 3 or 4 weeks after the customers start asking questions about where their data's gone. Again, created on and created by default, we manage this. So in any entity, we use the overridden fields that are available within the API. The API allows for overriding both of these, but unless you do it at the time of record creation, which again often gets overlooked if you're doing a generic migration, then you have to make sure that you're using the right message. So it has to be on the create that actually happens. And also sometimes, in order to reflect who changed what when, we have to switch execution context. So again, possible within the API. Most generic tools don't support that in a straightforward way. So we manage all of that, again, under the hood within the Echo product. Status management, and again, this is typically something that happens. Quite often you find in generic migrations that the decision's made just not to migrate inactive records, whereas actually a customer does want to see their history and they want to see what's happened in the past, sent emails, completed tasks, and that kind of thing. So we have problems with this because if you're trying to update and set statuses, in some cases the records get locked. I understand there's been some updates to the API that open up that restriction for us a bit, but it has been historically an issue. And the standard Dynamics entities, orders, opportunities, quotes, specifically in the sales process, you have to transition through multiple statuses to get to the end status that you need. The other key challenge I think that often happens in migrations is the time that it takes to push data through the Dynamics CRM API online. We can't really get around that programmatically. There's some new methods that are out, which we've updating Echo at the moment to take account of those. But even so, it can still take days if you've got 40 or 50 gigabytes to push that to the Dynamics CRM database. So we came up with a delta process, which allows us to take a whole database, migrate it over a few days, a week sometimes. In some cases, it can take that long to migrate all of that data. And then the customers are still using their on-premise system while we manage that migration. And then we take a delta, so we take another database. We filter that database based on created on an updated date, and we only then push those changes through Echo in that final migration. So what you end up with is, hopefully over a weekend, unless there's a massive amount of data that's gone in that week that you've migrated the initial data, but usually we'd then take a snapshot on a Friday, we'd run the delta information in over the weekend, and then your customers will be ready to go with their new Dynamics CRM Online instance on the Monday morning. I mentioned this now as well, the phased managed service. So the other alternative to using a delta, so that whole filter, is to migrate some key data to start off with. Typically, this is for medium-sized databases, so around the 10 to 15 gigabyte size. What we would do is migrate, say, accounts and contacts and a few custom entities to start off with. And then over the next week, in the evenings or in off hours, we'll migrate activities, we'll migrate attachments. Anything that doesn't have complex relationships in it, we can just slowly trickle that data in over time and manage the customer's expectations that they're not going to see everything straight away, but they can start working. They can add notes, they can add opportunities, but the rest of the data will go through over a period of time. So those are the two options that we have in terms of beating this process time challenge using Synchronicity Echo. So I've highlighted what the problem was. I've highlighted why we developed what we did and why we're in the position that we are, having worldwide recognition, really, in the data migration CRM online space. As I say, we're not competing with the generic tools. This is a very specific function to allow customers to migrate from on-premise to online. Being so specific, there are some nuances of the tool which sometimes we need to offer partners and customers support with, which is why we've started focusing more on offering the migration as a managed service. So what this means is we take your database, you manage your customizations on the destination environment, we take your database, we run the migration, we iron out any issues that are in the migration, and then when the migration is finished, we provide the log to you so you can see everything that's happened as part of that migration. But it just means that we can run the console, we can run the migration and take any corrective actions that are needed during the migration. And importantly, it's fixed price as well. So when you start, based on the size of your database, if the database is massive, there are additional charges, and you can have a look at our website for that. But you know going into an engagement exactly what it's going to cost you. You can mark that up for your customer. You can put services and solution assurance around it. But we'll sell to partners and customers at a fixed price for the managed service. I mentioned this just now, that you get everything, all of the output. Now, our logs are very verbose, and that's a very good thing. So quite often, customers will say, well, I'm sure I put a note in against that account. What happened? If you get the account GUID, you can search through our entire log, and you can see exactly what happened with that account. You'll know categorically whether the account failed. It'll have a failure message next to it if it did. We always communicate any errors, but we always try and correct them then before we go live. In some cases where there's older systems, so some of the version 4 systems sometimes lose referential integrity, and the decision's made with the customer to drop a few records if it's appropriate to do so. But we get full visibility of that, and you have the entire output log at the end of the managed service. And as I said, specialist management. Occasionally there's a data scenario that we haven't encountered before, and we may need to either tweak the database and make changes to the process that's executing, or on some occasions make a small update to the Echo scripts. And we're in a much better position to do that real time as we're managing the managed service. So just a few slides now. That's our offering. That's how we'd like to work with you, and how we see this service going on for the next few years. Just a few slides on how Echo and the managed service work. This is reasonably familiar to all of you, I would think. No rocket science here. This is fairly straightforward. But what we have here is this is the destination environment. We've only got one business unit at the moment. There's no data in there. This is what Echo looks like. You can see why I'm not demonstrating this now. It's a command line tool with a log output. It's not very sexy. It's not very exciting. But it does exactly what you need it to do in terms of the migration process. And once we've run that, we've got the output log. Notice I'm just focusing on business units here, but this has gone through and recreated the business unit structure, put all of the correct users into those business units. Any data that was owned by these business units is migrated across as well. And you can see I've migrated a few contacts in this context as well. And all of their relationships, the parent customer has been migrated there, you can see. On the right-hand side here. So, you know, everything that we've... that's just a very simple example of Echo in progress. I think this example only took 3 or 4 minutes to run. But it's taking the source data from either a version 4 or 2011 database into CRM Online.
So you don't mind if it's 4.0 or 2011?
So the question was, do we mind if it's a 4.0 or 2011? And the answer is no, it doesn't matter. Synchronicity Echo takes both database schemas and translates them through the API to the destination CRM Online environment. Yes, question?
But in order to import a solution in CRM Online, you need to be on 2011 roll-up 14.
So the question was, in order to import a solution into CRM Online, you need to be on 2011 roll-up 14 and so on. That's absolutely correct. You do. but we don't need an upgraded database as the source database to migrate. So part of your activity before we run the managed service is to get your solution in order. We also have a fixed price offering which will help you do that. We've got an environment that takes a version 4 database, upgrades it, exports the solution, and imports it into your CRM online. And we do that mainly for customers. Most partners prefer to do that themselves because there's JavaScript updates and new features and functions they want to include. From a Synchronicity Echo perspective, it's very important that the destination entities and attributes match. As long as that's the case, they can be different. You can completely redevelop your destination environment if you want to. If you've only got 4 custom attributes on the account, for example, you could just reconfigure it without going through an upgrade process. But most customers come to us and have us upgrade their solution and give them the solution. Sometimes we do a small services engagement to help their JavaScript work and so on. But most partners do the upgrade themselves in-house, import the solution into the customer's destination database, and then we just migrate the data once everything's in place.
What about CRM Online now is 2013?
So
and the new data schema?
Sure. So the question was about CRM 2013, the new data schema. From an API perspective, it's not a problem. So we take data sources, the CRM version 4 in 2011, into the new CRM Online version. So that's absolutely fine. That works well. What we don't do yet is look at the new data schema. So we can't take an exported 2013 on-premise database yet. We're working on it. Watch this space for early next year.
It doesn't release yet.
Well, no, exactly. So we'd be jumping the gun a bit. We'd be a bit ahead of the curve. And I like to be ready, but we're not quite that ready yet. So once, I know there's still some schema changes going on. Once the schema's settled, early next year, we'll be in a position to take an on-premise 2013 and migrate it to CRM Online as well, if there's enough demand for that. I've got to caveat that. My feeling is probably we're going to get a lot of 2011 or even version 4 on-premise databases. People will go through the upgrade and they won't look back. I think it's going to be mostly online for those customers from now on. I might be wrong about that, but we'll see how that goes next year. So hopefully this would have actually answered some of those questions, but what you need to do or what needs to happen is that the solution's set up in the destination environment. It's important that the option set values match. We've had a couple of cases where, what I mentioned before, where customers have set up the option sets, the values are different in the background, and therefore those option set values don't migrate. So that's why I mentioned it specifically. It's one of those gotchas. We try and look out for it, but we can't guarantee it in every case. Attributes correctly named, so the correct schema names need to be in the destination environment, and then Echo will just pick up the source schema names and migrate those data to the destination. You need to deactivate plugins and workflows. You don't need to. I mean, if you're certain that the plugins don't create new entities, for example. So quite often, plugins will be used to create another 3 records under a master record, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, with the holistic approach that Echo takes, we're going to recreate those 3 records if that plugin does that. So that's why we just have a blanket, deactivate plugins and deactivate workflows. But you as partners will be in a position to be able to say, well, actually, I know that this plugin, I'm just going to leave it enabled. It doesn't do anything apart from validation. And actually, I'd like to see an error. And that would come through to our error log if something were to go wrong with that validation, for example. So the blanket advice is to switch them all off, but there can be exceptions to that. You provide us the database via FTP, or in some cases we get a hard drive couriered if it's too slow. I did read actually recently about this new satellite that they've sent up a terabyte hard drive. Have you heard about this? So what this satellite goes around the Earth, and effectively you have a dish on your office, and as the satellite comes overhead, you squirt your data at it, and then when it goes round to the next location in the world, it beams it down. It's supposed to be a much faster way of transporting data. So we'll stick to FTP for now, but there are options about getting the database to us, zipping it up and giving us the back file and so on. We then run the first delta, or if it's a small database, we'll run the whole thing over a weekend and you'll migrate the whole database. And then if we do follow the Delta process, we've done Delta 1, we get the next database, run the final Delta, enable plugins and workflows, and we're complete with the process. So it's really just a case of getting the files to us. We run with the whole service, keep you up to date if there's any questions, issues, and so on. and then we manage it through. Slightly different with the phase managed service, so we still go through those same setup tasks. We get the database, we migrate the key data, and we go live straight away. Accounts, contacts, opportunities, active opportunities, and so on. And then annotations, closed opportunities, and that kind of thing, we can migrate as a secondary pass. So that's our offering. Just to give you some insight into what Echo does, and this can be quite useful if you are going the generic route. I'm not precious about that. If you want to take this information and go and give it a try, that's absolutely fine. But these are some of our learnings and why we developed Echo to work in the way that it does. I mentioned this before, we have this holistic approach. We migrate all of the data. The idea of this tool isn't to filter, it's not to take bits of information out. We can do that, but the primary purpose is to take all of that data and migrate it to the destination. We use the source schema, so we mentioned this before, we look at the schema for version 4 and 2011. We order the data, so I mentioned the migration order being absolutely important. There's an automated script that we run, which has a look at the number of number of records per entity, the number of relationships that there are from that entity, and we go through and we create an order which makes most sense to migrate the data first. And importantly, we have these four stages, and this is key to the success of Echo working in a holistic way and being able to maintain the relationships as we go through. So the first thing that happens is users, teams, and business units are just set up. As you would expect, you want all of your teams and users and so on to be in place. In some cases, we'll map users, especially now that there's different authentication methods. Quite often, people don't have the licenses for historic users, so we'll map those historic users to one or two destination users. Stage two, I think, is probably the simplest piece, but it's really the power of this migration process. So what we do is parse the schema. So we look at the destination attributes, and we through an API call, determine which attributes are create-only and mandatory, and we only create those. So there are some attributes that you can't update within multiple entities. We actually use the metadata API to determine which those are, and we only create the fields that are required. So if you're halfway through a migration, if you're at stage two, and you open your destination CRM environment, you'll see thousands of accounts that have no name. And that's deliberate. We did that on purpose so that when we get to stage three, all of the entities are updated. They all exist already within the system, so there's no reason we can't update them and have the relationships made between them. And then we manage all many-to-many relationships. Then we have a kind of intermediate stage after stage three, which is managing marketing lists, specific data fixes, so things we discovered like contract dates. If you have contract dates that are historic in the past, when you try and create a case against a particular contract, service activity, then case, an incident, then the API throws it out because the contract's now invalid. So there's things like that that we have to artificially extend, and then we fix those data specifically. There's probably five or six different examples of that kind of thing. And then stage four is going through the whole thing again, updating the status of those records that need to be updated. So four key stages. Not very complicated in what they do, but they go through very ruggedly. I haven't really mentioned the error management here. So as you can appreciate, with a long-running process, I don't want my team to be up all night making sure that it's still running. It's a very expensive way to operate. So we've got a high level of fault tolerance. If the connection gets broken, we wait 5 minutes and try again. And that process can continue up to 10 times before Echo finally gives up and says, look, Microsoft's offline, or I'm offline, it's not going to work. But quite often you do get a lost connection. Well, not often these days, they're getting better, but sometimes with Microsoft you get a lost connection, might be a local network issue that's transient, and we manage that fault tolerance. The way we do that is, sorry, go on. So the question was, do we use the same unique IDs, the same GUIDs, yes, from the source to the destination environment? And yes, we do. And that's exactly, I mean, that's one of the reasons that it makes it so straightforward then to manage those relationships as we go forwards. There's some exceptions to that. The root business unit, certain teams, certain users, we have to map. But apart from that, most entities are... So the question was about currencies, migrating currencies. Yes, we do.
Yeah, and
with the same unique ID as well for transaction currencies. The question spawned on kind of the data that's migrated. I'm not sure if we've got currencies in this list. We definitely migrate them. This is probably quite an old list, but the important key point here is we've gone through hundreds of different databases. We're in a position where we've tested this. You know, we learned as we went in the first few years. We're now at a position where we're fairly stable with the standard entities. And importantly, any custom entity is migrated as well. We don't have to do any special handling there. We're using the source schemas, and custom entities are actually some of the easiest to handle. It's got to be said that they're more straightforward than any of the others. But campaigns, units of measure, price lists, and so on. So everything that's within the core system gets migrated through Echo. Just a very quick one on further products and services. Unless there's any other questions about Echo and the managed service, apart from where do you sign? You can come and sign up now, that's fine. Based on the success that we've had with Synchronicity Echo, we've started using the code base for Synchronicity Echo for a sister product called Reflect. So the language that we're using kind of indicates what we're trying to do here. Effectively, what we do is take any data source now using Reflect, and we can migrate that into CRM either on-premise or online. So you've got the option with Reflect to go on-premise as well. There are some things you need to do in terms of setting up that data source, but it's really a developer tool. So we've already got some customers using this. They configure their source data. They run the command line, either through SSIS or as a scheduled task, and that then runs the data either periodically, so every 5 minutes, every hour, every day, into CRM online or on-premise through the API, so it's kind of clean, if you like. And then that data is managed through SSIS potentially. So it's a developer tool. But we've got, as I mentioned, some beta customers using it. We got this quote yesterday, in fact. So we're releasing this product next year. Ben at University of Oxford has been using this extensively, testing it for us, helping us complete the development. They're doing some quite large data migrations at the moment, and they're using Reflect exclusively for this purpose. So again, I don't feel that we're treading on the toes, that we're taking away territory from the generic tools in this case. We are only focused on dynamic CRM. So it's only for dynamic CRM as a destination. But if you're interested in either joining the beta program or finding out a bit more about Reflect, then ask us about that. Additional further products in licensing Reflect and getting the licensing model for Reflect right, we've identified that actually we want to be able to lock the solution down and make sure that only those people that are licensed to use it can use it. That's quite a tricky thing to do with Dynamics solutions. So we've got a framework which we're going to allow customers or partners to register their solutions. They get recompiled with a specific key encrypted in them, and then those solutions can get made available through our gateway. So those two products will be available early next year, and we're working through them at the moment. We've already had some questions, which is great. Was there anything else anyone wanted to ask on our service, the managed service? In terms of contact information, let me just go back a few slides because I had that. There we go. So contact either myself directly or info@synchronicitysystems.com. If you want to have a look at our pricing model, have a look online there as well. The managed service is the current list price. So for the purposes of the video, this is subject to change, but the current list price is £3,800 per managed service, and that's for a 5 gigabyte database. And then there's incremental charges for every 5 gigabytes above that. So have a look at the website and you'll see all of those charges. And that is an absolute all-inclusive fee. There's no additional charges on top of that. It would be remiss of me not to ask you to evaluate this presentation. So please do that. Have a look, send a text if you're able to. Tweet it, Facebook, whatever else they've allowed us to do. I hope you found it informative. I hope this has been useful to you, even if you just take away the fact that actually generic migrations are quite difficult. Quite often we find when we have conversations with people about Echo, we don't hear from them for 2 years, and then when they get a need, they get in touch with us. So please do that. Reach out to us on LinkedIn, reach out to us via email, and let us know when and how we can help you. If there's no further questions, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much.